How waiting for your tax refund can reverberate through the economy. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, checking financial markets as we wrap up the second week of the return of volatility. The Dow Jones Industrial Average 21 minutes into trading here is up 203 points, 0.8%, and above 25,000 again. The S&P 500 is up 0.4%. The NASDAQ is up 0.3%. Now listen to the benchmark for interest rates. It's up at almost 2.9% on the 10-year yield, partly on the strength of consumer inflation yesterday and news this morning that business-to-business prices, wholesale inflation, was up 0.4%. Let's check in on the economy with Diane Swong, chief economist at the accounting firm Grant Thornton. Hi there.
Good morning.
So in our focus on the consumer price index yesterday, inflation, some people missed the retail sales figure. That was looking a little low. That doesn't make any sense given the fact that we're talking about an economy that needs the Fed to tap on the brakes. What do you make of this retail sales slowing down?
Well, there were some weather effects, and we looked at the retail sales numbers. But, you know, talking to retailers, we're getting a completely different story. And one of the things we're starting to look at again, and it's something that's happened many times, many years in a row, and that's that the government isn't really good at seasonally adjusting the first quarter of the year, and it often shows up in spending. And so what they do is we have a lower first quarter, and then we have catch-up later on, and everybody gets this head fake that the world has fallen apart, and then we come back. And it's been going on for a long time, but it shows up, they call it, they have a fancy word for it, they call it residual seasonality, but it shows up much more when you're closer to 2% in growth than when you're going at 4%. And it's been going on for several decades, and they thought they fixed it, but these retail sales numbers raise an issue of maybe they didn't get it all.
All right, so there's weather to contend with when collecting these statistics in the winter, but also what's this about tax returns, federal tax returns?
Well, this is another thing we have to look at because one would normally expect a snapback in retail sales in the month of February, but in fact, the tax refunds have been delayed. So all the spending we usually see and try to adjust for, the surge in February as people get their tax refunds, that's going to be delayed till March now. So that will further complicate the data and add volatility to financial markets as they're trying to digest all this information coming in.
Why are the Feds being slow in sending us our refunds?
Well, there's been a lot of fraud. I mean, remember, we lost all of those, all of our Social Security numbers, and they're being extra vigilant in trying to deal with the fraud issue and how people actually trying to get a refund from your refund. Instead, they're trying to steal it. And to try to delay that, it's also meant delays in our refunds.
Yeah, and there's talk of also, I think, short staffing at the IRS.
There is almost no staffing left at the IRS, and it's something that, ironically, it actually has inhibited the ability of how rapidly the tax cuts can be enacted because there's not enough staffing to recalculate the tax rate for businesses.
The chief economist of Grant Thornton, Diane Swonk, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And these numbers, as we try to process the school attack in Florida, this was the 30th mass shooting in 2018, and we are 46 days into this year. The Broward County, Florida school superintendent said in the hours after the attack that mental health issues in this country need to be addressed. We note by one calculation last year, Florida ranked last in the nation for mental health funding. Poor old Stefan Richter. He's editor-in-chief of the online publication The Globalist, and after decades of living in always-perfect Washington, D.C., he's moved back to his native Germany, and I wondered how much he's suffering there in Berlin. Hello, Stefan.
Hi, David.
You poor fellow. Central Europe, high taxes, $5 a gallon gasoline they charge for bags at the groceries. How are you surviving your deprivation there?
I feel positively liberated. Food is positively cheap. I'm a foodie, and I've barely managed in a big purchase to break the 100 euro barrier, even if I had a full load. And I remember in D.C. Doing that with two rather lightly packed bags of whole food stuff, paper bags, and I wasn't buying any caviar. So it's positively a good trade to be here and shop for food and eat nicely.
But what about for other things? You find the price of life in general cheaper. And when I go to Europe, I'm often paying $9 for a beer.
So what's a big cost in our lives? It's health insurance. And I paid for the family $2,000 in the U.S. and I pay $1,000 here. We all need cell phones. And for two people, I pay 65 euros.
Wow.
And there's no nerve-wracking surcharges if you travel abroad and all of a sudden they come up with any kind of funny data charges and, you know, calls from here to the U.S. or anywhere else in Europe are covered as local calls.
What about getting around?
We live in Berlin, where, like in many big cities, it's no longer the case that you want to have a car. You rely on public transportation, and if you go real long distances and can't take the train, you end up taking airplanes. And even if I decide to go tomorrow to Spain or Italy or wherever, most flights now with EasyJet and so on are 65, 75 euros one way, even if I book it a day ahead. And it seems like Europe ain't so far behind. In fact, it's the mass market consumer place as which the U.S. has always advertised itself. And in reality, Americans pay through the nose with a factor of two or three times as much as we pay on many things in Europe.
Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, now in Berlin after years in Washington, D.C. Stefan, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's part of an occasional thing we're doing with Stefan that I want to call Is the Grass Really Greener?, where he's on the hunt for interesting ways that other countries order their societies. By the way, 65 euros a month for cell phone is about $81 a month. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.